WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The same team that made the classic 1964 musical The Umbrellas of Cherbourg made another musical 3 years later called The Young Girls of Rochefort. The film has been restored and is now playing in New York and will open in other cities around the country in September and October. On this archive edition, we have an interview with Catherine Deneuve, who starred in Umbrellas and Young Girls of Rochefort. In Young Girls, Deneuve and her sister Françoise d'Orléac played twin sisters. Shortly after the film was completed, Deneuve's sister was killed in a car crash. I spoke with Catherine Deneuve in 1996. She's been called one of the most remarkably beautiful actresses of our time. She started her career in the early 60s and soon won international recognition for her performances in Umbrellas, Belle de Jour, and Repulsion. More recently, she starred in The Last Metro, Andochine, Ma Saison Préférée, and Thieves. Both of Catherine Deneuve's parents were actors. When Catherine started acting, she took on her mother's last name, Deneuve, instead of her father's. I asked why.
Because I had my sister, who was an actress before me, and actually that's how I started to do films, because I played her sister in a film during the holidays while I was at school, and that's why my parents allowed me to do that film. But my sister was an actress before, and she kept her name, which was, you know, normal, and I never thought anywhere that it would last. I was not sure I was going to go on doing films, so I didn't really care, and I didn't want really to find another name, so I took my mother's name for that reason.
So, 'cause your sister was using your father's name, the family name?
Yeah, family name, yes.
So you wanted to have a different name from her?
Well, I think it would have been difficult to be both, you know. Maybe even today, yes, I regret that. Today I regret, because I lost my sister, and we were only four girls, so my family name is going to go. It's finished. But I think at the time it seemed difficult to be too, you know, we were so close in age and everything that to have the same name would be some sort of confusion.
You said it wasn't until Umbrellas of Cherbourg in 1964 that you started taking acting seriously. What was it about that film that made you serious about acting?
It's not about the film, it's about the director.
Mm-hmm. Because Jacques Demy.
Jacques Demy, yes, he's a very, it was a very important director. And it was very important for me to meet someone like that so young. He gave me confidence and he sort of made me look at things in a different way. I mean, I had done very few films before to meet him, and I couldn't imagine, you know, it could be like that. And it was really like a revelation. It was something I would have never think of. And after that, it really was very different for me.
Could you say what it was about his approach to making movies that you found so new and exciting and different?
I suppose first it's because his personality, you know, and his way of seeing films and directing and doing very long shots, a great, very long traveling, and that was something that I was not used to, you know. And also the sense he had of color and using actors, and he was talking, you know, about what he was doing. That's something he wanted to share with us. And he had a lot of confidence in me, which I didn't have, and that really helped me a lot. I realized that if a director really wants you and is very strong and has a good personality and is very positive, it can bring you, to me it was really like an incredible discovery.
I love this film. It was restored and recently re-released.
Yes,
it's a
beautiful,
wonderful film.
Beautiful new copy.
Now, all the dialogue is sung in the movie, and all the actors' voices are dubbed by professional singers. When did you find out that you weren't going to be using your own voice in the movie?
From the beginning, because it was written, you know, as an opera, and nowhere that the music of Michel Legrand could be sung by an actor that would work for a few months. And it was already a very difficult work to have to learn by heart completely the film so we could shoot the film and be completely lip-sync. That was very difficult. And that was enough of a difficulty for two young actors like me and Nino Castelnuovo, my partner.
I'm thinking of how hard it must be to give such a convincing performance when one of your greatest tools, your voice, can't be used.
Yes, but you know, it was a musical. So when you have to do it, and first I wasn't, you know, I was not even 20 years old, so I didn't really realize that. I had very little experience. And when I had to learn the music with the words, you know, I was so taken by the music. And even when you have to shoot, you have to really sing loud. You cannot just open your mouth, you know, as if you were just, you know, trying to be just in lip sync. I mean, you really have to sing. It's not your voice that you hear, but I remember I had the impression that I was really singing. And I thought, you know, that doing a film, you have to do it for the best. And the fact it was not me, but a singer, seemed normal to have a professional for the... It's a frustration afterwards, a long time afterwards. But when I did it and when we did the film, it was absolutely fine for me. And I didn't think, you know, that what a shame is not going to be my voice, and I feel so frustrated, or I didn't feel like that at all. Maybe today, yes, I wouldn't do it because I have the impression that my voice is more known because I've been doing many films and people know my voice. But at the time, you know, it was to me a normal thing, you know, to have a professional singer. And anyway, it's very, very difficult to sing Michel Legrand. Very yeah. difficult.
I just want to ask you one question about the ending. This is a movie about a young couple who are deeply in love, but they're separated when he's sent off to the military. And then she ends up being pregnant. And because she doesn't hear from him a lot, she assumes he's left her. And she ends up marrying somebody else. He comes back, is heartbroken, and later marries somebody else. What do you think of the ending? Do you think that they're better off with the people who they married than with each other?
I don't know. That's impossible to know. What I can think of, it's a very sad ending for me because it's a very... obviously, they seem to be, you know, happy, I don't know, but they seem to be fine, you know, with the lives they have. But when you've seen the film and for the audience, I suppose, to the desire, you know, to get those two people together again because it was such a strong and such an emotional love story that you feel like crying because that's life, you know, it's very unfair. Actually, the film is not it's not like a fairy tale like some people said, you know, because she's pregnant, her mother pushes her to marry another man because she's pregnant and it's no question she's not going to keep the child and no question that she's going to be by herself. And her mother pushes her in the arm of someone very fine, quite rich, you know. I mean, sort of conventional thing that make me cry. Even today.
In 1967, you made Belle du Jour, directed by Louis Buñuel. Now, this movie has also recently been restored. It's an interesting contrast to Umbrellas of Cherbourg. In Umbrellas, you played somebody very young and very naive. In Belle du Jour, you're a young married woman, but...
But you... quite naive as well.
Okay, but naive in a different way. Because,
yes, yeah. But naive in a way.
Yeah, you can't be sexually satisfied within the marriage, so you become a prostitute at a very high-priced brothel.
Call girl, yes.
Yeah, and you're there during the day, and your husband doesn't know about it. Mm-hmm. And the movie combines the reality of your married life, the brothel life, with all of these fantasy mm-hmm. Scenes. What was Buñuel's approach to directing you in this role?
Very little. Very, very little. The script was so, you know, really very heavy on the matter. So, and Buñuel didn't like much to give psychological explanations to actors. I remember to have had difficulties, you know, sometimes because also the producer were very strong and Buñuel was in Paris living in a hotel. And I wouldn't see him much, you know, outside of work. And he wouldn't let me go and see the rushes, the dailies, you know. It was a little, sometimes it has been difficult. It was a difficult shooting sometimes. My remember of him is much better when we did Tristana, you know, 2 years later mm-hmm. in Spain, because that was a much better experience for me as an actress with him. But Belle du Jour was a difficult subject anyway to do.
Yes, well, I'm wondering if in Belle du Jour, if the woman's sexual fantasies of humiliation made any sense to you.
Yes, it makes sense because fantasies are made, you know, to it's like a phantasm. You're supposed to you imagine yourself in a situation that you might never leave, but that you need because it gives you some excitement or some. And actually, in Belle du Jour, they are very all the situation are very classical situation that men and women think of. You know, sometimes in a love affair, it's something very. And when I saw Belle de Jour again, I hadn't seen it for a very, very long time. I saw it again then in New York, in that very beautiful restored copy in New York. And I was quite surprised to see the sort of humor, you know, also that there was in the film, which I didn't feel that much at the time when I did the film. Maybe when I saw the film, but when I did the film, I didn't feel that much.
Now, the film critic David Thompson wrote this about you. He wrote, "Deneuve is a fantastic actress, her beauty a receptacle for any imagination, perhaps the greatest cool blonde, forever hinting at intimations of depravity." And what's your reaction to that?
I like that. I think it's better than any kind of, nicer compliment about being. I think it's very intriguing, you know, to imagine someone being such a, like a deep volcano. You know, you don't know how far down, you know, you can fall. But in the same time, officially, when you look at that person, she seems, you know, very straightforward. Very, I find it very intriguing.
Yes.
I would like to meet the person he's talking about.
You feel very far from that as Catherine Deneuve.
Well, I have the impression he's talking, of course, about someone else, you know, something between me, but mostly something about the character. And it's one of the films I've done, Belle de Jour, that followed me more than anything during all my life, because I did Belle de Jour in 69. And even today, I can feel in some question of journalists the fact that Belle de Jour is something that people say I'm very related with, you know, as if I was, you know, partly, you know, very much that person.
What about Repulsion, though? I'm sure people always ask you about your character as a sexually repressed woman going mad.
She's a schizophrenic. Yeah, she's a schizophrenic girl, and she's. But Repulsion was very, very close to me in a way, because she was a very shy, very violent, deeply violent, but shy in the same time. And it's just because she was put in a certain kind of situation that sort of madness, you know, came out. Otherwise, you can imagine she could have followed very well for a very long time, living with her sister, probably getting married and having children, and nothing would have happened. Then, you know, there was something in her that went wrong, but because of the situation to be left alone for a weekend and her imagination, she had that little potential thing that became terrible, and she becomes, you know, what the film tells, you know, she becomes a criminal in the most violent way that... But also, I think in Repulsion, it's something I think people can identify with that woman. She's not a monster, you know. She's not doing that, you know, as a crude thing just to be being cruel and wanting to kill. It's just something that she can't resist because she has fear of men, and she feels threatened.
Do you think that men and women relate to you differently on screen?
Well, I hope so. I mean, yes, because there is a difference between men and women. You know, I don't think they see male and female actors on screen the same way. But I think women quite sympathize with me. You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't think women sort of resent me as a sort of icy, dangerous blonde. No, I don't think that.
You know, I'm wondering if women relate to you even more now than in the early part of your career when you played more naive and very seductive women. Now there's a certain power that your characters have, or at least some of them have.
The powerful character that you can have, you know, that's the compensation of getting older, you know, is to have, you know, more mature parts with a character stronger and with more... But it's very difficult, it's true, for a young actress to find a very deep, very important, very touching, very warm, very very serious part. It's quite difficult to find everything in a part for a young actress when you can think of a mature actress. I think there are certain age, you know, of life for an actress on screen. And there is the sort of what I was like in Ambulance of Cherbourg, you know, I was the young, romantic, idealistic girlfriend. Then there was, you know, the mature, younger, mature and responsible woman in Last Metro, film of François Truffaut. And there is today a touching woman that women can sympathize and identify with, because I don't represent, you know, a sort of glamorous in a sort of artificial way person. So it's the evolution of a life of an actress, I think.
My guest is Catherine Deneuve. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back to our 1996 interview with Catherine Deneuve. In America, actresses start to feel shut out of films often by their mid-30s because they're no longer eligible for the glamour roles. Did you ever experience that in France?
No, because we are allowed to grow a little older in Europe, you know, not only in France, but in Europe. I think there is more attraction for a mature woman than there seems to be here, where everybody is so scared to get old and where people seem to be running so much after youth. Which, being an actress, you know, and growing up in age, you know, and in that profession, I can understand. But there is a sort of, to me, a foolish thing to try to escape in a wrong way, you know. I think you have to fight, you know, as much as you can and try to stay in shape. But if you run against what you are, I think you can really become crazy.
In America, I think a lot of actresses and actors as well feel that plastic surgery becomes essential to their career after a certain age. What about
Europe? Goes with it. It goes with it. You know, it goes with running against time. In Europe, it's the same, but to another level, I suppose. I suppose it's not as not as many people do it, and it's not as evident. But people do it to a more reasonable level, I have the impression.
Has that been an issue for you?
An issue for me, what?
Plastic surgery.
What means to be an issue?
I guess that's my very polite way of asking if you've done it yourself, which you don't need to answer if you don't want to.
You know, it's something I always refuse to answer because I had the impression that to say no was like saying to other women, what you think, I haven't done it. I think it's rude to... But now I think it's very difficult not to say that... You know, that started, you know, a few years ago. I started to be asked, and I say, I won't answer that because I find it rude, as if, you know, women who have done it were in another world. And I feel I sympathize very, very much for people, you know, who feel they have to do it. But today, I mean, the question comes back so often, I have to say that, no, I have to say I didn't do it. And I didn't do it because, like a lot of people, you know, I think I would be scared for the moment. But I must say that I'm very reluctant to answer to that question because I feel like saying, you know, I'm in one, that part of the woman, and there is the other part. I don't like this idea that the one who have done it, you know, it's like being a, come on, it's like a...
You don't want to be passing judgment on them by saying that you haven't done it.
Good. That's the way I should have put it.
You did Chanel perfume ads for years. How did you feel about doing those ads?
Very well. I liked it very much. I'd worked with them, and I was very, I sympathized very much with the people. I think that if you do publicity as I did, you know, it's not something I do just to sort of hide it and put it away as if it was something I do on the side. It's really something I like, publicity, and I did enjoy very much to work with Avedon when we did that commercial for a few years, and I worked with the people who were writing the script. I felt very confident with that.
And you,
something I like very much.
Do you still wear perfume?
Do I wear perfume?
Yeah.
Yes, of course I wear perfume every day, even in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Does it give you pleasure to wear it?
Yes, absolutely. I'm sure it gives pleasure to others, but it gives me pleasure first at me to me as well.
I have one last question for you. I know your younger sister died when you were, I believe, in your 20s. Older sister, I'm sorry.
Yes, slightly older.
And I know you don't like talking about that, but I was just wondering one thing. If when you lost her, if it changed your life, if it made you think that life was so impermanent, if that changed the course, your course of direction, realizing...
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Deeply. Forever.
So how was the course of your life changed, do you think, or the direction that you took yourself?
I don't know what it would have been, you know, otherwise. What I know is that I will never, you know, forget the lack, the missing I have of her not being there. It's not something that, it's not that I, I had to learn to live, you know, without her, but I suppose it's like it's an experience, you know, unhappily, that people have to have in life. But as being as an actress, you know, and having children, and but without the marriage, and without having a sort of life as sort of as an actress, you know, like not being alone, but having, you know, quite big responsibilities. Very often I realized how much I missed her, because, you know, we were doing the same thing, and I'm sure that I would have found a very nice shoulder to talk to if she had been there.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Catherine Deneuve recorded in 1996. She stars with her late sister in The Young Girls of Rochefort, the 1967 musical made by the same team as The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. A restored version of Young Girls is playing in New York and will open in other cities beginning in September. Here's composer Michel Legrand performing one of his best-known songs written for Umbrellas. Its English version is known as Watch What Happens. We'll hear from Legrand in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.